darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
A reading from Galatians, the fourth chapter. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Why was Jesus born? Yes, why was Jesus born? This is a simple question that we asked last Wednesday as we ponder this theme of Advent. This question that is a very simple question to ask and sometimes more difficult to answer. And last week, as we asked this question, we learned that Jesus came not to be served by humanity, but to serve you and me. Tonight, though, we ask this question once again. And like last week, we acknowledge that this simple question can be a bit difficult to answer. For example, some people will try to personally answer this question of why Jesus was born, and they will answer this for themselves and end up with all sorts of answers that are way off center. One of the answers that may come to our minds is that Jesus was born to stand with the poor, to work for justice, and to stand up against the powerful. That he was born to teach us about a radical love and be an example of how we should live our lives in the here and now. Now, considering this, we do need to admit this evening, indeed, admit this evening, that Jesus did do these things. He did heal the sick. He did stand with the downtrodden. And he did fight against the Pharisees. But does this capture the whole reason why he was born? Was he born to simply show us how to live our lives? Now, dear friends, he did not primarily do these righteous things to show us how to live, but rather, he was born to do these righteous things for you and for me. That is to say, he was born to not only die for you, but also to live for you. It may be easy to miss the point that I just made and that I am making here this evening. So let us consider the significance of this. According to our epistle reading from this evening, we read, and I'm going to repeat it again, that Jesus was born under the law. He was born under the law to redeem those who were born under the law so that we might receive, yes, you and me, might receive adoption as children. Jesus came not to be some sort of teacher of the law, even though he did teach the law, and he was not born to merely do some good things as a way of being some good moral example, even though he did do good things. But rather, he was born so that he could be obedient. He could be obedient to the law. He was born so that his obedience to the law might redeem you and me. It is like this. Jesus, he was born. He was born to live for you by being a servant to that law, the law that you and I cannot keep and cannot fulfill. God, he demands perfection in his law, does he not? His law is not just a bunch of mere suggestions. It is a demand for complete perfection in thought, word, and deed. It demands impeccable love towards God and this perfect love towards our neighbor. Furthermore, God's law, it never quits. It never ends. It keeps that demand going. It thunders with its orders and threats, constantly coming against our thoughts, against our words, and against our deeds. It calls us to be perfect in thought, word, and deed. And when we are honest with ourselves, we must acknowledge that we do not do the good that the law demands, and we do the very evil that the law says that we should not do. To the point, we do not follow God's law to perfection. And this is why we need Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins by dying for us. And I might add this evening, and it is the reason why we need Jesus to live perfectly under the law in our place. For many years, I personally knew that Jesus had died for my sins and that I received that gift of forgiveness by faith and that I was saved by Jesus' blood on the cross. However, what I did not realize was that Jesus also lived for me. In other words, I understood for many years that Jesus forgave me of my sins, wiping that slate completely clean, yes indeed, wiping it clean, but then I incorrectly believed that it was up to me, to Matt Richard, to fill that slate with a bunch of good moral works. Jesus got rid of that negative sin, but then it was up to me to acquire and earn positive righteousness. My problem was not that I did not understand that Jesus died for me, but rather I did not understand that Jesus also lived for me as well. Maybe tonight you find yourself confused over this as well. If this is the case here this evening, that Jesus was born to die the death that you cannot die, and he was born to live that perfect life that you cannot live. Jesus, he avoided the sin that you cannot avoid, and he did the very good that you fail to do. This means that Jesus was born to not only remove the guilt of your sin and mine, but to give you his complete righteousness, his complete goodness, his complete perfection, his complete faithfulness as a gift. You see, my friends, Jesus is our substitute. He is our substitute not only in death, but he is our substitute also in this life as well. He did everything that we cannot do. He lived in perfect obedience to God and this law. He did not sin. He maintained a perfect righteousness, a perfect life under the law. And then he went to Golgotha, to Mount Calvary. And there at the cross, something incredible happened. There was an exchange. There was a great exchange. A tremendous exchange, more than our minds can comprehend, an exchange. All of our sins and our filthiness, all of our filth in thought, word, and deed were transferred to Jesus. And Jesus' perfect life, that perfect, that clean, that faithful life under that law was transferred and credited to you and to me. It was a great exchange. Sin for righteousness. Our sin to Christ and his righteousness credited, placed upon you and me. So what does this mean? Well, it is true that Jesus came and did a lot of righteous things, healing the sick, comforting the afflicted, helping the poor. Many of these things, though, are not exclusive to Jesus alone. For many of the prophets of the Old Testament did this as well. But unlike the prophets and us, Jesus did these righteous and these good and these perfect things to perfection in order to conquer that law. Yes, God's law for you and for me. Now, dear friends, the law, God's perfect and holy law, is expressed in the Ten Commandments. It always accuses you and me. It demands complete perfection. It demands perfect thoughts and perfect words and perfect deeds. And because we are not perfect, the law will always condemn us. It will always threaten us. It will always accuse us. However, this is not true for you and me when we are in Christ Jesus, when we have Christ Jesus. By living perfectly under the law for you and dying under the law for you, Jesus has actually conquered and strangled the law. That means that you do not have to do good things to earn and acquire and work up some sort of spiritual sweat to get that right relationship with God. The reason why? Christ Jesus is your righteousness. It means that when you fail, that you do not have to work to acquire God's approval by your own works, as if you are trying to acquire brownie points or climbing some sort of ladder to get closer to Him, for the reason is that Jesus is your righteousness and He was born for you. It means that when the law crushes you for your sins, which I might add is a good thing, to be exposed for the sins that we have, it means that we can run to Jesus and hear that He was crushed in your place and He lived perfectly for you. And that in Him you are not put to shame, but considered righteous. Because Jesus Christ was born to not only die for you, but to live for you, you do not have to acquire a bunch of good works in order to earn salvation somehow, because God is already, He is already well pleased with you on account of Jesus' perfection and His life in your stead. In Jesus, your chains are gone. In Jesus, your burden is gone. In Jesus, you know that the very perfect, that very holy and righteous law that condemns you is the very law that Jesus was born underneath, so that by His righteousness and His life, that He might fulfill it on your behalf. Jesus' life completely met up to the standard of God's holy and perfect will, which means that you baptized saints, that you meet up to the holy and perfect will of God, for you are indeed in Christ. You are indeed in Christ, the one who was born not only to die for you, but to live for you that Christmas some 2,000 years ago. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.